Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, family. This is Tim, the Overseer. Hello and welcome. And hopefully you've all had a great and blessed week. It is good to be back. And I know that there are a lot of people who are excited, maybe some not as excited as others, about the election that took place this past week. And we are yet to see how that's going to affect a lot of us in this world, in this country mainly in particular. And hopefully there's some good things that lie ahead for the future of this country. Hopefully there'll be some changes as far as when it comes to that. I'm not big on politics. I don't really get into politics that much. So the main thing is that we are praying for the leaders of this country, and that we are praying for one another, that we are praying for the church and its leadership. I believe that that's the most important people in this world is our leaders in ministry. I'm not saying that they're more important than, or better than anyone. It's just that we have a close relationship with the Most High, and most people who are in ministry are constant, and not just people who are, when I say ministry, I'm not talking about pastors and leadership in church only. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Why? Because we are praying for the world, and through the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So I believe that that is the most important thing, is that we as the believers in the body of Christ are continuously moving forward, and that we are preparing for the return of our Lord and Savior. So with that being said, it is good to be back. We are actually in Revelation chapter 11, and there are two things I'm going to cover in Revelation chapter 11. And the funny thing about this is that Revelation has 22 chapters, and we are now officially through halfway through Revelation. So I think that's amazing. To me, that's a great accomplishment in being able to present the word. I know for me, this is a great accomplishment, and hopefully this is a great accomplishment for you if you're continuing to listen. Now, I will not be on the air next week. My daughter's playing basketball, so be praying for us. And they happen to be doing some traveling, so we won't be back next week, but we will be back the week after. So I won't be back next Friday, which I believe it'll be the 13th. So be praying for us as we're praying for you all. Be praying for the church and its believers. And with that being said, let me go ahead and say a quick prayer. Let me read the scriptures of love. In fact, I'm not going to be on long tonight because pretty much we've covered a little bit of Revelation chapter 11. And the last couple of weeks we had Minister Elder Bazaar. I want to send a shout out to him for coming on the show for the past 2 weeks and sharing with us. In fact, we'll probably be back on the air soon together. But I thank him for coming on the air and sharing his spiritual wisdom and knowledge. I've actually found it very interesting. I learned some things I always learn from our elders in church, as I highly recommend you to utilize their gifts, because we can learn a lot. You know, I've always believed that you're not done until you're done. Until he calls you home, you're not done with ministry. I don't care if you're 99 years old. We should always utilize our elders in the church, because we can learn something. Amen. I really believe this is the reason why the church is in the situation that it is in, is because we've overlooked our people in ministry that have become mature in age and just kind of set them aside and feel like, you know, there's really not any use but just to be seen and not heard. And that is so far from the truth. Again, I believe that's why our country, and especially in particular the world and our churches, especially in our communities, have reached the situations that they have, that they are in. Our communities, there are some of our communities, when I say our communities, I am talking about the Black community around the world. There are some that are doing great. There are some that are doing good, but I think we can be doing much, much better. And there are some that are doing not good at all. So, now with that being said, let's go ahead and move forward, because like I said, I probably will be on like just an hour tonight. And I'm also may do a small recap. I know I plan on doing a recap of what we've been talking about and discussing. And not this Saturday. And I'm sorry, I actually will be back on the. Not the 14th. I'll be back on the 21st. And then after that, I'm going to give you another break, because I know it's the holiday weekend and most people are traveling. I've also learned, even, you know, from my wife, is saying, you know, on the holidays, it's probably not best to be on the air, because a lot of people are spending time with family, which I will be doing also. So I want to make sure that I am, like, you know, being thoughtful of people as they're traveling up and down the highways, and that they are spending time with family, that I'm praying for you guys, that you enjoy your holidays or quickly approaching. Amen. As I said, even about, you know, my daughter's basketball season, it is amazing to me how time is flying this year, and how we are already at the end of this year. We're in the last 2 months of this year. This is really hard to believe, but here we are. And nonetheless, let's go ahead and get started. Let me go ahead and read to you 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter, which is the context of love by Paul. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not our own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now by it, faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, we thank you for life itself. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the many blessings, Heavenly Father, that you bestowed upon us, your children, dear Heavenly Father, the saints. We just come blessing and praising your holy name and lifting you up, dear Heavenly Father, teaching and showing love and sharing salvation, dear Heavenly Father, that we may grow the church, dear Heavenly Father, the kingdom, before your Son comes, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. We pray that all flesh be removed and that the Holy Spirit comes in and usher the good news to your people. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right. So we are about to get into Revelations, the 11th chapter. And pretty much what I want to do is read the first 13 verses of Revelation, the 13th chapter, and then we're going to discuss them. And then we're going to finish up. Revelation, the 11th chapter, is actually divided into two different segments, the prophets and then Christ and his kingdom, his rule forever. So not only just the millennium, thousand-year reign, but us as the saints in Christ, following him as his followers, as the church, and as believers and saints, we're going to rule, be with him. He's going to rule forever. We're going to get to live with him forever. And the funny thing about this, I'd actually kind of forgot about this in researching and studying this. I've actually kind of forgot about the context, the last few verses of Revelation 11 chapter, and just thinking about it today, while I was at a basketball game, and just thinking about, wow, you know, we're going to get to live for all eternity, and I just can't wait. I know that sometimes, you know, we enjoy this life. I enjoy it, you know, for the most part, but we do go through things, right? But we long, Paul said, but he said to be absent from the body is to be what? Present from the Lord. And what Paul was simply saying was that not that we don't want to be here in this world, but we know sometimes this world can give us some trials and tribulations. And there are just times to where just, you know, we just get the feeling spiritually. We kind of get in our spiritual selves, and we just like, you know what, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know that it's a good thing for us when we leave this world. And I tell people all the time, you know, especially when it comes to your loved ones, we're going to miss them. We cry, we weep, you know, whatever. But we know that we're going to get to see them again. See, that's the great thing. You know, we got to promote that to the saints. You're going to get to see your loved ones again if they believe. And if you're a believer, and this is why it's important that we do spread believing in salvation, okay? Because why? We get to see one another again. We get to live for all eternity, okay? So let's go ahead and read Revelation 11 chapter, verses 1 through 13. It says, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot, and 42 months. And I will give power unto my witnesses. Amen. Amen. We know what that 42 months is, right? That's 3.5 years, okay? It says, and I will give power to my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, same amount of time, 3.5 years. These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth, Yahweh. And if any man would hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man would hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Amen. These have power to shut heaven, and that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Amen. And they of the people and kindred of tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these 2 prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. After 3.5 days, the spirit of life from Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither, and they shall ascend up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to Yahweh of heaven. Amen. So this is a great event, amen, in Revelation 11 chapter, because when you think about it, we kind of talked about this, and we kind of had Minister Elder Bazaar to break down the 2 prophets, amen. And what we come to understand, amen, according to this brother's teaching, amen, is that it is believed, as I stated before, that 2 prophets is Elijah and Enoch. Amen. And I know that before, as I told you before, we kind of went over in class, there was not really a debate, but just a discussion of who it could possibly be. Some actually still believe that it's Enoch and Elijah. And I must admit, I've always leaned towards Enoch and Elijah, and I give you my school of thought, was because the Bible says it's appointed for man to die at least once. And we know, according to the Bible, from what we understand, with the exception of the saints who will be alive at the time of the gathering together of the rapture, that they won't see death, supposedly. And there are some that say that they believe that when Christ returned to get the church, that when those that are alive and remain, they actually believe that they're going to actually die real quick and then be caught up. Paul doesn't really go into deep to this discussion. He doesn't really lead us to believe that when Christ comes back to get the saints, that those who are alive and remain will die and then be caught up to heaven. I just said that they should be caught up, meaning that while they're alive, they will be caught up. That's amazing, because we don't really know if there's death in that. But we do know that, according to the scriptures, Elijah has not died. Enoch has not died. So it's kind of hard to really come to a conclusion. Could it be Enoch and Elijah? And as I was reading the scriptures, Revelation 11, chapter verse 6, where it says, these have power to shut up heaven that it rained not. Well, we know that's kind of similar to what Elijah did. And then the blood, instead of turn the power to turn water into blood, we know that this was the power that Yahweh, the Most High, gave to Moses to perform in Egypt. So this is why I can see why a lot of people lean towards this being Moses and Elijah. And also another thing that that Elder Bazaar pointed out on the last few weeks that he's been on the air with me and educating us is that with the two witnesses, they are of Abraham. That's Elijah and Moses. They come through, they are the children of Israel. They come through Elijah and Moses. But Enoch did not. He was not a descendant of Abraham, because that means that he wasn't of what? The children of Israel. Okay, because the children of Israel had not been founded as a nation back during the time Enoch was back before the flood, long time ago. But we know that there are some things that Enoch, just some visions that he had that we still acknowledge today. Even the book of Enoch, if you hadn't read it, I highly encourage you to read the book of Enoch. Very, 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 very important book when it comes to scriptures, because it is believed that they excluded the book of Enoch because the information that it contained pertained to Christ's return, and just anything about the Bible, how it's still part of the Bible. We know that Enoch was a real person. And so don't discredit the book of Enoch. I've read it once. I'm thinking about, I've actually read the book here recently. I hadn't actually read the one that I've purchased, but I want to read it here pretty soon after I get through teaching you guys on Revelation, which will hopefully be before the next half year, or before we get to June of next year. I want to finish Revelation, but I just think that was so neat how, the book of Enoch just shares so much important information about some of the fallen angels and just some of the things that the Bible it just didn't make any sense to me that it was excluded. Of course, we know that it would make the Bible a much larger book if the book of Enoch, or even some of it, was included, because there's a lot of writing, a lot of chapters in the book of Enoch. Okay. So we're talking about the two prophets of the Most High and how they're going to come down in 3.5 years, okay? They're going to be given power to kill anyone who make war against them. They're going to make people's lives miserable. They're going to preach the Most High. So remember, this is going to be out throughout the 3.5 years, because most people believe that they're not going to be destroyed until the latter part of the 3.5 years, which is close to Christ's return back to the earth. And we also see how they were what? Caught up into heaven. What I thought was another thing that was significant was that they were dead 3.5 days. Now remember, they're going to minister almost 3.5 years. They're dead 3.5 days. And so we know, according to the scriptures, I just sometimes wonder what that means, because numbers mean a lot of things when it comes to scriptures, okay? So, John told us, about these two, 42 months, 3.5 years. They're going to basically just make it bad for the people who are going to be walking around with the mark of the beast in their head, because we know in the last 3.5 years, that's when they're going to be required to have that mark of the beast in their hand or in their foreheads. And I tell people a lot of times, because a lot of people are going around talking about, the chip is going to start soon. Well, there's going to be some things going to happen. We have a time frame of things, according to the Bible, to when it's going to happen. It's not going to just happen overnight. It's not going to surprise us. In other words, you're not going to just be asleep and wake up the next day and they're going to say, everyone's going to have this. You're going to need to take the mark or die. That's not how it's going to happen. We know that some things must take place. For one, the church must be called home. Okay? The church would be raptured or gathered together to heaven. We'll be out of here. All the children in the world will be gone. Okay, I did give you my age. Some people believe it's 12 years. I don't know. I believe it's 20 years and under will be gone. They will disappear off the face of the planet. Okay, the young people will be gone. Okay, that's my thought, my theory, according to what I read over in the book of Leviticus. One day I'll share that scripture in that context with you again, what happened to in the wilderness with the children of Israel, because everyone who complained, the Most High basically punished that were 21 and above, but the ones that even said in the scripture that they didn't know any better, okay, because they were 20 and younger, which to me makes a lot of sense. To me, it does. I don't know about anyone else. I'm not judging anyone's teachings or the thought. I'm just giving you my study, my research, and my thought, because the scripture said that at that time, 20 years, not, and remember, if the Lord said something then, it's forever. Okay, it doesn't mean, oh, that was in the Old Testament. No, the Lord said it. So if he meant in the Old Testament, it's good for the New Testament and for all eternity. He said that the ones that were 20 and under, they didn't know any better. Okay, so that's my thought, that everyone during the time that Christ returns, that's 20 and under, will not be here. They will be caught up to heaven with the rest of the saints. Okay. So don't take this the wrong way, but I kind of feel like that if you happen to be alive during that time, which we don't know when Christ is going to return, we believe it's going to be soon. It could be years. It could be even more than 100 years or two. We don't really know, because Christ said he doesn't know. He said it himself. But the thing is that the people who are 20 and under, they're going to basically get into heaven free card, which I think is cool. I don't have no problem with that, because he's graceful and merciful. We know that he is a loving and graceful, merciful God. I said before in one of my teachings months ago that I don't see the Most High punishing children and young people and putting them in the lake of fire or hell, and they don't know any better. Okay, and I know some people want to debate that maybe and say, well, what about those that cut up and everything? He's a graceful and merciful God. That's all I can say about it, okay? But, you know, again, that's just my school of thought. You may have your own, and I'm not knocking yours. I'm not saying that I, feel some type of way about your teaching. We all do the best that we can when it comes to reading and studying Yahweh's Heavenly Father's Word, okay? The Book of Love clarifies that and says that, you know, we prophesy in part and we know in part, meaning that you don't know everything. I don't know everything. No minister or man of God or woman in this world knows everything. That's why the Bible says, and when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. In other words, all that we think we know will be clarified when Christ returns. We're going to rule with him, what? 1,000 years. Amen. Okay, so keep that mindset, that mentality, that we don't know everything. We offer the best that we can as we study and research by the Holy Spirit. But we know that when Christ comes back, he's going to clarify everything. We're going to know, it's not going to be a shadow of a doubt. You're going to know what you need to know. Amen. We thank him for salvation. We thank him for opportunity. We thank him for a second chance. I thank him for the second chance in my life. And don't think that he's not or has not given those who are lost and they have lost their souls, they are in hell right now, destined for the lake of fire. He has not given them a second chance. We know that he's the God of a second chance. He's giving you, in fact, more than, in my opinion, more than a second chance. He's giving us chance after chance. But sometimes people harden their hearts, as the people in Revelation are doing. And when these two prophets are going about, now remember, we've been through a lot of things, a lot of teachings in the book of Revelation. And if you have taken your time to piece the judgments that Christ has upon those who do not love him, those who are disobedient, those who are arrogant. There's a lot of things going on in Revelation. I mean, I don't see how people would not want to repent. We talked about starvation, death, war, fires. It's going to be continuously. And this thing that we're going through now has absolutely nothing on what's coming. You can't prepare for it, as I've spoken about in months and weeks past. You can't prepare for the Great Tribulation. You see people out here preparing with guns and buying up water and tissue and food and just going insane. You cannot prepare for what's coming. When what's coming comes upon this earth, and when it gets here, the plague that's going to be that's going to be unleashed on this earth, the things that's going to happen, the judgments that Christ is going to judge the earth, judge the unbelievers, you cannot prepare for it. You're not going to be ready for it. You think people think that when, hopefully not you, because you believe with me, you won't be here, but people are thinking and really just feel like they're going to be prepared for what's coming. You can't. And I've said this before in studying in Revelation 6th chapter. We know that when things get bad on this earth, who suffers the most first? The poor does. The poor people always suffers the most first, not the rich. The rich will suffer eventually. See, that last 3.5 years is going to begin to touch the rich. Now, I said the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, it's not going to touch the rich. It's going to touch them too. Those who got money and those who are rich, it's going to touch them too. Now, the higher as they like to call themselves, or people like to call them, the elite, they're probably not going to be start getting affected that much until it just depends, you know, because we never know when this thing is going to really hit. But we know that the entire world, the last, which I call the last 3.5 years of the 7 years, I call it the Great Tribulation, because now Christ is going to, the day of judgment, the day of Christ is going to be unleashed on the world. And I don't care who you are. And this is why it says in Revelation, the 6th chapter, I just want to go there real quick and read it to you, the last part of Revelation, the 6th chapter, where it says, in verse Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 14, it says, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth," amen, that's your elite, "and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains." And we've interpreted, we've broken this down. Now remember, you'll have the 144,000 on earth. You're also going to be witnessing and preaching Christ. People are going to be mad at them and hating them. And because they're not going to receive the mark, they're going to be beheaded. And you got the two witnesses, which we believe is either going to be Elijah and Moses, which now I'm probably leaning towards Moses and Elijah now, based off the elder teaching. Or it could be Enoch and Elijah. We do know they're going to be on the earth at that time. They're going to come back, and they're going to be basically, in a sense, spiritually leading the crusade against what? The ungodly men. You got to have someone that's going to be able to stand us, going to be fierce. Remember, they're not like us. Amen. We kind of have a more peaceful approach when we minister. We have a more kind of a Christ-like, turn the other cheek when we minister. They're going to have fire and brimstone. And if you come against them, they're going to kill you. The Bible says it over in Revelation 11. They're going to kill you if you come against them. They have the power and authority to take. Because you got to remember, these are unbelievers coming against them. These are not believers. These are not good, loving people, God-fearing people. These are hateful, evil, call it what it is. And they're going to go, as the kids say, they're going to go hard in the paint. They ain't going to hold back. They're going to let them have it. They're going to teach to them devils and tell them devils that you are bound for the lake of fire if you don't repent and change. They're going to be coming at it. They're going to do the soft stuff that we see at pulpits today. They're going to come at it. They're going to come light easy. They're going to have 3.5 years. And then they're going to be turning to people. And people are going to hate them and want them to wish them dead, wish that they can get rid of them, but they can't. They don't have the power to get them out of the world. It's only by the Most High when he allowed the beast that's going to ascend out of the bottomless pit. It's going to take them out, but it's going to be towards the latter part, 3.5 years, Christ is about to what? Return to the earth. And he's going to put all his enemies under his feet. Man, this is beautiful, man. I tell you, I love being a believer. I've said this many times before. I will continue to say it. I enjoy being a believer. Man, I love it. Because we win. Even when it seems like we lose, we win. We have the victory. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I know there's a children's song that they used to sing in church, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, and they used to sing that. We have the victory. We do, as the church, as the saints. You cannot lose. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you're on drugs. I don't care what your situation is. If you feel depressed, if you believe and just simply accept Christ, amen. You got it made. Amen. And I love to share with y'all while I have the opportunity. The plan of salvation. It does me no good to preach all this good word without leading you to the cross. We know that through Romans 10:9-10, this is what? The plan of salvation. People say, man, well, you preaching all this good word. How do I become a saint? How do I join the ministry? How do I become part of the kingdom of God, the Most High God, the one and true God, the one and only Heavenly Father? How do we become a part of Christ, the kingdom, this millennium kingdom that you keep talking about? People are dealing with sicknesses. People are aging. People say, you know, that they hurt, they're in pain, they're suffering, they're depressed, they're stressed, or their bodies may be sick. They may have some type of terminal illness. How do I get this new body? How do I live for all eternity? Romans 10 chapter verses 9 and 10. All you have to do is what? Believe. It is that simple. One of the greatest tricks of Satan is that he has tricked people. He has sent men and women in the church to deceive people. And people are very much deceived at this day and time. He don't want you to know that all you have to do is just simply believe. That's why Christ, throughout his ministry, if you read the Gospels, especially in the book of John, he always talked about what? Belief. Do you believe? Okay? John, he said it best. He said, behold, the Lamb of the world, which taketh away what? The sin of the world. The only sin there is now is the sin of not believing. Amen. That, does that mean that there, that when you go out and do something wrong, it's not sin? No, I'm not saying that. That is sin, too. But the sin, the one and only sin that will take you to the lake of fire is the sin of not believing. If you choose to say, I don't believe in God, like there are so many people in the world, especially at this day and time, they are toting that. They are wearing that badge happy and proudly saying, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in that hocus pocus and smokes and mirrors and that stuff. Okay. Well, we're going to be praying for you, brother or sister, that you become saved before it's too late, because once you close your eyes in this life, in hell you shall lift up your eyes if you didn't believe. Amen. That's scripture. That's over in Luke, the 16th chapter. That's scripture, and Christ talked about that. Romans 10:9-10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is it. One and done. Close the book. That's it. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to be. And I'm going to show you proof of that. That's going to cap it off. It says in verse Romans 10th chapter, verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, well, overseer, how does that work? Well, it's real simple. If I love my wife, I got to tell her, right? Because I love her, I say, baby, I love you. I'll just say, I love you. We just show love. You know, people will cuddle or hug up, or maybe you give them some sugar. Whatever it is that you do to show love, you can't help but to show love physically, because you feel that way, what? Spiritually and mentally on the inside, because so you must what? Show love. So that's why we show love to one another. That's why we say, brother or sister, I love you, because we do love you. Why? Because it's on the inside, because Christ is in our heart. The Holy Spirit, the Most High God, Yahweh, is in our heart. And because we love the brothers and the sisters, we must tell them, well, amen, that we love them. Amen. That's what we do. We tell them that we love them. And that is it. That's it. Don't let nobody complicate this thing. See, God is simple. He sent his son to do the hard work. He said, all you got to do is just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say you got to live a perfect life. You got to have more righteous than you do. He ain't never said that. In fact, a perfect example was when Christ was on the cross, the man on the left and the right, the man on the left criticized him and said, well, if you are who you say you are, why don't you bring yourself down? Why don't you save yourself? See, that pride was still in it. But the man on the right said, you know what? Stop. He's not worthy of this death. He's not like us. He didn't do what we did. We are worthy to be a person. This man, see, let me tell you something about people. People know about people who believe. People know who you are. Don't think that they don't. They watch you. They look at you. They pay attention. Don't think the world don't know who you are. The world recognizes the believers right off the bat. I can go anywhere. I can tell you, but the world will recognize me right off the bat, because how you carry yourself. You ain't got to go around and say, I'm blessed and highly favored with the Lord. I'm not going to know one that does that. But what I'm saying to you is, you just by the way you carry yourself, the world knows who you are. Okay? Don't think they don't. They do. It's also over in the book of Daniel. If you read the first and second chapter of Daniel, you'll see what the astrologers, the magicians, the wise men over in Babylon at that time, they knew who the people were. They knew who the people of the Most High were. They know who you are. Don't think that they don't, okay? So the point that I'm making is that the devil wants to deceive you and making you try to make you believe that, oh, you got to jump through hoops, you got to climb Mount Everest, and you got to swim from one part of the ocean to another continent just to be safe. No, Christ said, I mean, the Most High said, no, we're going to make it simple for him. I'm going to send you down. And you're going to die for the sins of the world. You're going to redeem them, which is one of the most beautiful scriptures that was in the Bible. St. John, the third chapter, what does it say? St. John, the third chapter, what does it say? Let me get there real quick. St. John, the third chapter, amen. As I told you before, I had two mentors in ministry, my pastors, one of the pastors used to say St. John 3 and 15 was the greatest scripture. The other pastor said St. John 3 and 16 was the greatest scripture. I say both of them are. Amen, because they both mentored me, and I see what they mean. St. John, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. That's it. That's it. One and done. Real simple. He said that who believeth in him should not perish. In other words, all you got to do is believe. You won't perish. You won't see hell. You won't see the lake of fire. You won't suffer pain and misery for all eternity. But he says in verse 16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. All to God, all God, all glory be to God the Most High, Yahweh. Amen. His Son, Yahshua, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank him so much for his word. We thank him for that power. And I see exactly what my mentors were saying when they said that those two verses are some of the most powerful, not the two most powerful, almost. Amen. It depends on who opinion, who you ask, the most powerful scriptures or the greatest scriptures in the Bible. Because one acknowledges, verse 15 acknowledges that what? Salvation is so easy, so simple. All you got to do is believe. Why wouldn't you want to be saved? Well, I'm going to wait. Well, tomorrow's not promised, as my dad used to preach. Tomorrow is not promised to you. You can't wait. No matter what state you're in, the Bible is simply saying in verse 15 of St. John, the third chapter, just believe. Come to me as you are. Let me do the rest. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. See, that's what I had to do for you. Allow the Holy Spirit to work on me because I can't do it by myself. Amen. The Holy Spirit has to be working in you. So just come. Verse 16 says that, you know, so for God, he gave the order to send his son, Christ. What? That he may be that sacrifice. And all you have to do is just accept him. And you have salvation. And that's why John said over in John, the first chapter, verse 29, says, the next day John see Christ, Yeshua, coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You're talking about something great, something so powerful, something that can't stop nothing, a powerful force that the devil and all his angels and imps and pimps and whatever you want to call them, can't stop. Christ is so powerful. I tell people all the time, man, you don't know who and what you serve. He is so powerful that, you know what, can't nothing stop his power. Man, when he come back, oh, man, you know, the kids have a little sin. The kids have all kind of sin. Talking about you going to get your wig pushed back. When Christ come back, he going to push all the unbelievers' wig back. Those who choose not to believe, oh, man, he going to let them have it. That's just the truth, okay? Because this is who we serve. And as you can see right here in this verse 29, what it's simply saying, he's taking away the sin of the world. So in other words, he's taking away the sin. All the things left for you to do is believe. So if you believe, you have salvation. If you choose not to believe, you are lost. Amen. That's why you always say, help my unbelief. Now watch this. Go. Now we're going to look at St. John, the third chapter, verse 36. What he said? He says, 36 verses, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. So that's all you got to do, just believe. He said, if you believe him, you have everlasting life. That's just it. You believe that you got your ticket. You don't believe, you don't have a ticket. You don't have a ticket, you can't get into heaven. You don't have a ticket, you're going to hell, and you're going to suffer there until judgment. And then after judgment, amen, Revelation, the 21st chapter, it's over in there, read it, then the lake of fire. So if that's what you want, because you want to enjoy this life and you think this is better, you think this is all a joke and you think this is smokes and mirrors and this stuff ain't real, that's what you have to look forward to. Eternity of suffering and punishment. But it says in the second part of that verse, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Yahweh abideth on him. That's the wrath of the hell and lake of fire. Eternal torment, perishing for all eternity. That's the wrath of God. And those in the tribulation will see the wrath of God with hell and then the lake of fire. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. In other words, you won't see eternal life, not this life. You won't see not natural life. He's talking about eternal life. Very powerful scriptures, very powerful verse. Want to move to the latter part of Revelation, the 11th chapter, verses 14 on out. Okay. Now, we talked about the witnesses, and I had to throw in some salvation. Amen. Because anytime I preach and teach, even when I used to go from churches to churches, or when I preached in the church, when I pastored, this is what I did. My call in the ministry for 20 years, my ministry has not changed. It doesn't need to. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is powerful, cutting to the very bone and marrow, even to the very soul. The word is powerful. That's why so many people can't receive the same. It's too tough for them. Amen. The old school pastors, that's why I love it. Amen. You know, so something, you know, see people like the stuff that's gonna make them feel good. Oh, it makes me feel good. I like to hear that itching ear. See, the old school pastors, like my dad and the pastors before him, it was fire and brimstone. So you don't see fire and brimstone, but them pastors went out in the early 90s, probably sometime in the 90s, especially in the 90s, they went out in the 80s, early 90s, 2000. Some of them have passed on the 2000. Some of them made it to the 2000. You don't see those fire and brimstone pastors. The churches now don't want to hear that. They want to hear this soft stuff where you're going to get a car and they're going to slap some oil on you, rub you down and turn you around three times and then lift your arm up and then tell you, push you back and then have somebody catch you and tell you, you're going to get a house next year. So this type of stuff people want to hear. And see, we don't have time for that anymore. That type of ministry in that age is gone because people are losing their souls out here and Christ is on the verge of return. This is why we are back preaching this type of message, because it needs to be preached. It has to be preached because it's time, saints, to wake up. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to stop acting like you shouting and playing like you shouting and playing like you speaking in tongues. Because trust me, people be speaking in tongues in church, and when they get out of church, they cussing in tongues. And so, you know, they are. I've seen it. I've seen it. You know, you like, wait a minute, when you just in church, and then next thing you know, they doing something else because people are here playing. You don't have time anymore. It's time to get your household in order. It's time to get belief and faith in Christ. These two witnesses are going to basically preach fire and brimstone 3.5 years. Oh, the world will not. They can't deal with it. They got those 666 tattoos. I'm telling you, you know, some people are so sold out to Satan that 666 on their forehead and in their hand ain't going to be enough. They're going to have it all on their body, all over. You know, people are just so sold out to Lucifer, Satan, and he don't even love them. That's what gets me. You are serving a being that hates you because he hates man. He can't even stand you, yet you going out and bowing down to him just because he's going to allow you to have some trinkets on earth for a short time. Not even a, I mean, this here on earth, when you compare eternity to just a few years. I remember, you know, I look at some of these actors and rappers who have sold their soul for trinkets, because that's what they are. You think they're $1 million or something, somebody give you a paper with some dead, evil people on it, and I just call it what it is. You think you got something. You sold your soul out for these. This is trinkets. Lucifer is tricking you. And you think you really got something because you got a house and a car and some money in the bank. Your soul is the greatest thing that you have. It is the most important thing that you have. Amen. And you have to make a decision whether you want to go to heaven for all eternity or you want to go to the lake of fire for all eternity. Amen. I remember when I first got saved, amen, I looked up at the sky and I told the Most High, save me. I don't want to go to hell. Because I thought the hell was, most of us do believe or did believe that hell, I thought hell was the lake of fire, but it's not. Hell is like jail before you go. See, when people get arrested, they kill somebody, commit a crime or whatever, they go to jail. You go to a waiting place. And people don't like jail. I've known people, I have family members said they don't even like jail. I had family members go to prison. He said, you sure? I have a brother. He said, you sure don't want to go to prison? He said, jail ain't nothing. He said, you don't want to go to prison. He said, whatever you do, don't come down. I said, brother, you ain't got to worry about me. Amen. So I'm just saying, I'm not boasting, but I'm just saying, all glory to the Most High while I serve him. And I pray that you stay out of these places. And I'm praying for you that you receive salvation. Amen. What I'm simply saying to you is hell is just a holding place until judgment. So you're going to go through all the time. You think it's going to be this is it. Oh, no, there's something much worse coming. If you read Revelation, the 21st chapter, you'll find out that hell is going to be cast itself. He said, now what is hell? Hell is a realm. So you're going to say, man, if hell is a large realm, and the Bible talks about how hell will enlarge itself,
You mean to tell me that the lake of fire has got to be so huge that hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire? See, y'all out here playing. You need to get your tickets. They free. Amen. I'm preaching and teaching. I'm giving you the word tonight. It's free. Get your tickets. All you have to do is believe. Go to heaven. That's simple. Call it a day. Amen. I thank him for saving my soul 20 years ago. Amen. A little over 20 years ago, I got saved. My wife got saved. All my children are saved. What greater joy could a man ask for? Amen. You think riches of this world? No. My whole family, I will see them in heaven. We will all get to hold hands and sing songs for all eternity with the Most High. And I'm trying to extend salvation to other family members, to people out here that's lost. Amen. We thank Derek Oliver and the Chaos Radio team for this opportunity, for this platform, and that we're reaching those that are lost and even those that are saved, amen, that they may spread the gospel, spread the word. Whether you want to share this message, amen, on social media, whether you just want to take what I've taught and share it with people, it's about your soul. It ain't about a dollar bill, amen. That can do only so much. A dollar can only go so far in this life. The Bible said only what you do for Christ. Amen. There we go. Only what you do for Christ shall last. Amen. Let's go ahead and knock out these last. We've got 15 minutes, less than 15 minutes. Let's go ahead and knock out this last half of Revelation 11 chapter. Amen. It says in verse 14, the second woe is past. This is the second woe. These two prophets that are going to be doing things. Now, you got to think. We talk about wormwood and how people won't be able to drink the water. Now you got water that's turning into blood. You ain't going to be able to have clean water. So all this bottled water, I can kind of see. See, this is what I say. If you are an unbeliever, then maybe it makes sense for you to go and buy guns, bullets, food, freezers, tissue, water, gun, bullets. I'll say it again. Whatever you feel that you need to stock up. Maybe it makes sense. If you don't be here in the Great Tribulation, then yes. If you say I don't believe, yes. Go get you all the guns. Go get you a missile. Go get you whatever you need. Go get you a missile launch. Go build a. You can build a fortress around your house. You wasting time. Don't go buy no new trucks and no new house. Go build a fortress around your house. You need to get you a team or if that's what you if you're gonna be here, that's what you need, because you're still not gonna escape what's coming. See, you talking about civil unrest. People are gonna be cutting up, and as I told you before, the poor is gonna suffer the first. They're going to suffer the worst. That's why the children won't be here. See, the Most High won't allow. He's so graceful and merciful and so loving. He says, you know what? The young won't even be here to suffer this. And this is why Christ said, woe unto them who give sup in them. In other words, you pregnant. You chose the tribulation to get pregnant. Really? You're going to get pregnant within this 7 years, and you can't even feed that child. You can't even feed yourself. But people are going to do it because the scripture says it. Get ready to go home. Amen. Look to the sky every single day. Every day, amen, I'm looking for him. Amen. I'm looking for him. I don't know about you, but I can't grow weary. He says to watch. Amen. Paul said you got to watch. We are not to get weary. Amen. Let me finish reading these scriptures. Amen. Verse 14 says the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world, amen, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. That means what? Christ is on his way back. Now the church that has been raptured up to heaven almost 7 years prior is now coming back. We are coming back with Christ. Oh, man, it's going to be so great. Man, you're going to be so beautiful. We're going to be coming back with Christ back to the earth, and you're going to get to reign with him for 1,000 years on this earth. Can you imagine that? Now, watch this. I'd rather sell out for Christ and get to rule with him for all, rule with him for 1,000 years and reign with him and live all eternity with him and the Most High and the Holy Spirit and all the other saints for all eternity, than to sell my soul, have all my heart's desire in this short period of time on earth. Now, you think we are promised, what, 70 and so many years, I don't know, 70-some years on this earth? There's 60-something and 70-some years. We are promised so many years on this earth. And so let's just say, for example, I think it's 73 years or something like that, 70 years, something like we are promised so many years on this earth. Let's say you get to live all those years, but you didn't get saved. You were going to get the rule of Christ longer than what you could live, longer than what you did live on this earth. We're going to get to come back and live a thousand years is a long time. That ain't nothing to snooze at. So the people who get to be rich and famous and do all they want to do and think they got it going on, they don't even get 1,000 years to enjoy that. You couldn't even give me 1,000,000 years to enjoy it and then go to the lake of fire. You couldn't give me 1,000,000,000 years to enjoy and do what all I want to do and then go to the lake of fire and lose my soul. Because the word says, for what profit the man to gain the whole world, amen, and lose his own soul. Your soul is all important thing that you, the main important thing that you have. Let's go ahead and read it. Verse 16 says, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped Yahweh, saying, we give thanks, O Lord, Yahweh Almighty, which art and was and art to come. Amen. Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Amen. That's us. We talked about the 24 elders. That's the church. You're going to be in heaven casting your crowns, falling on your faces. We're going to be before the Most High. Oh, it's going to be so beautiful. You're going to be before the throne, the Lamb, and the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits, which is the Holy Spirit, before the Most High Yahweh in his throne, bowing down, worshiping him, praising him for all eternity. Man, you can give me that all day. Amen. There was once a wise man made a joke about it. He said, you know what? He said, it's better to shine the Most High's toenail for all eternity than to suffer the lake of fire. I had to laugh when I heard that. I said, that was a good one. He said, I said, that's true. You rather shine his toenail for all eternity, amen, than to burn in the lake of fire. Hey, the Bible says you're going to scarcely make it in. No, but you're going to barely make it in. You only meaning that you only made it in because of what Christ did. That's the only reason why you're in heaven. That's why the Bible says no man can boast before the Most High. Ain't nothing you did. It's because of what Christ did, his sacrifice, you made it into heaven. He got you in. He paid the way. He got your ticket. All you got to do is accept it by believing. That's it. Amen. I tell people, man, you'd rather be just walking around, just even if you had the sweet floors, and I know I'm just making a joke about it, but even if you had the sweet floors all eternity and shine his toenail, hey, I'm here. Amen. You rather make it in than be in the lake of fire, burning, suffering, smoking. Amen. And I don't mean none of the stuff I heard they be smoking. Amen. Now watch this. Verse 18, let's move on, we're almost through. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, and they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Woo, Lord have mercy. Talk about those who destroy the earth. We already know who's destroying the earth. They're going to pay. They did all the trashing in the rivers and the oceans and just destroying with the smoke and smog and just doing all kind of evil, dirty stuff. And I don't mean just destroying the earth physically, but the people of the earth, murdering people. That's the earth. We're part of the earth. Hey, man, we come from the dirt. You murdering people, you killing people, you are kidnapping and kidnapping kids and kidnapping people, just murdering, just doing all kinds. All these folks call themselves the leaders, doing all the evil stuff, they're gonna pay for it. I don't think they ain't going to get away. They may get away with it in this life. They may live a good 70 to 100 years stealing organs and using somebody else's body part to live longer. You still going to die. Oh, man. If you ain't going to miss that smoke. It's waiting on you. Like them kids, like the young folks say, you don't want none of the smoke. They ain't going to miss that smoke. They're going to get that smoke. Trust me. They're going to get it for all eternity. And, you know, sometimes you have to ask yourself, man, would God punish a person like that for all eternity? You mean you're going to, and I've been thinking about this for years, you're going to burn for all eternity. Man, I said, you go to go and turn your oven and touch that, like my dad used to say, touch that out of that stove and see what you move. Man, fire is one pain that'll make you move. It'll make you get somewhere. You feel that fire, right? So can you imagine just burning? for all eternity. The Bible says unquenchable fire. That means that you'll never get used to it. Ooh, man. Then it talks about the canker worm. You're going to be reminded of what you did for all eternity. You'll never, you're going to know exactly why you're down there. You're never going to say, oh, remember you did this? And you never repented. Remember you did this? The Bible says every single, the books, Christ is going to open up. He got the books. Amen. The book of life, and he got the book. Every word, every thought, every deed. Everything you didn't say. See, can you imagine giving account for everything you said? Everything that you even thought, just for thinking things. Everything that you didn't thought. You thought you want to beat up somebody. You thought you want to hurt somebody, kill somebody. And then everything that you actually physically did with your body. You're going to be judged on that. Then he's going to remind you, oh, man, for all eternity. I'm glad I'm saved, and I hope that you get saved too. Amen. Let's go ahead and finish it out. Amen. And thou shouldest give reward to thy servants and the prophets and to the saints and to them that fear thy name. Amen. That's me. I'm in this book. Amen. I fear his name, so my name's in the book of life, small and great. And shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of Yahweh was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple, amen, there it is, the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. Amen. All glory to the Most High. Thank you all for listening. Amen. I tell you now, we won't be on the air. Amen. Next weekend. Amen. But I will bounce back. Amen. As I told you, one of my children is participating in sports. Not saying that I'm putting anything before the Most High, because you know that I don't. But we must support our kids. Amen. We must support family. We have to spend time with family. It is very important. Amen. To their salvation, and it is. It's important to their life that we do spend time with them and acknowledge them. Amen. Because you just don't know, a lot of things affect our children. So we want to make sure we stay positive in their life and that we support them. So I won't be on the air on the 14th next Saturday. I will be back on the 21st. And we will also do a freestyle Friday on November the 20th. So I'll be on the air on the 20th of November and the 21st. That next following week, I will not be on the air the 28th. Which is going to be the week of Thanksgiving. Amen. I think Thanksgiving is on the 26th. So I won't be on the air that weekend. Let's put it like that, the 27th or the 28th. We won't be on the air again. We're observing. I'm learning, amen, that I know a lot of people are traveling during the holidays. They're enjoying family. So, family, I want to say before I let you go that I love each and every one of you. I'm enjoying this revelation teaching. We've made it halfway through. All glory to the Most High. We thank him for his grace and his mercy. I give him all the praise and the glory. We thank him for his son. We thank him for the Holy Spirit, for his word. We will come back on the 21st, and we're going to be talking about the woman gives birth to a son. Amen. We're going to be talking about the woman. Who is the woman in Revelation, the 12th chapter? Amen. Revelation, the 12th chapter, has 17 verses. We should be able to get through Revelation, the 17th chapter, and we'll preach and teach on that. We're going to find out who the dragon is. Amen. You know, there's a lot of debate, amen, about some of these scriptures. But I've learned, like I said, in teaching Revelation, I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it because I'm learning some things. Amen. As I do some study and research and read my books. Amen. And sometimes I consult. Amen. I have ministers in the Word, people who are elders to me, that I consult with and may ask some questions. As I told you, I don't know everything, amen, as you should. If you don't know everything, don't feel free to reach out to someone, amen. Listen to some of my teachings. If you don't agree with some of them, it's okay, amen. Do your own research. I tell people, don't listen to me no way, amen. Come read and study for yourself. The Bible says study to show thyself approved. That's what I did. That's why I got so deep in the Word, because I got tired of learning that when people say things in the Bible, it's not even in the Bible. Yeah, you made that up. Amen. And you over the pulpit just preaching to people. Amen. But we love each and every one of you all. Hopefully you all enjoy the rest of your evening. We thank Derek Oliver and the Chaos Radio team for this opportunity. So with that being said, family, I love you. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty, and you are made by the best. You are the best. Amen. and we will see you. Family, remember, bless the kingdom, and you all have a blessed and wonderful evening, and have a blessed and wonderful week. Enjoy your week. I will be back on the air again November the 21st. We will see you, and I'll be back November 20th and November the 21st. So the Most High Yahweh bless you. Good night. I love you all. Thank you.